I grew up in a family that watched the Boston Celtics play basketball. Yeah, I knew I have at least one compadre in here for that. Yeah, they're rare in these parts, but hey, we still stand strong. But anyway, it was just my dad had always been a Celtics fan. I don't really know why. But I do remember that at halftime, I would always go out on the basketball court at our house, and I would always try to shoot the ball the way Larry Bird did or whatever. And my favorite place to shoot was from the corners, down in the corner. So that was a Larry Bird shot for sure. And so I just found myself, you want to imitate the people that are successful at the thing that you like to do, right? Some of people might be a musician, if you're a guitarist or you're a keyboard player, or you like their style and you like to imitate them. And it's just something we do. I think that there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. We like to pick up on things that help us be better, and oftentimes find people that we resonate with. But imitation is something just that is done a lot. In fact, I find out all kinds of things when I'm researching a message. I ended up on YouTube and saw Jimmy Kimmel. He had this guy on, I forget his name, but he was imitating all these basketball players on a makeshift half court, and just all their different moves and the things they do after a basket, and they had them all down. But spiritually speaking, it's a good thing to imitate someone that's following Jesus, right? Who's imitating our Lord and Savior. I mean, that's okay, and we should have people like that in our lives. And really, one of the things, the takeaways from the message today, has to do with that idea of imitation. And it sounds kind of strange that Paul would say, "Imitate me." He said, "Imitate me." And so let's just go to the Lord before we read the passage here together. Lord, help us this morning. Sometimes getting here is a huge victory. And so we're thankful to be here. And Lord, we just ask and pray that you'd help us to connect with you at this time. As your word is going out, and we pray, Lord, that your spirit would just provide for us what we need today. Maybe it's a strong encouragement. Maybe it's a warning. I don't know. But Lord, I just pray that you would work in our lives, in our hearts today. And Lord, we pray also against the enemy, Satan, who does not want us to hear anything that you have to say today. Lord, help us to be undistracted. And Lord, we pray for those in our church, Lord, who are sick, who are ill physically. And we pray for your comfort. We pray for your healing power. And Lord, those who are struggling maybe spiritually, having a hard time walking with you and really stumbling along, we pray, Lord, that they would know that they can reach out to a friend. They can call for help. They can that you have not turned away from them, that you are there waiting for them. And so, Lord, we just we pray, Lord, that you'd work in our midst right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're able to stand, why don't you stand with me as we're going to read the Word of God here this morning. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 to 21. Bringing the first, the fourth chapter, I should say, and the first major topic to a close here. Let's read it aloud together if you're able to here. Let's read verse 14. "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ through the gospel." Sorry, Christ Jesus through the gospel. Yeah. "I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" This is God's word. Please have a seat. This is a dad talking to his kids. That's the picture we get, right? Doesn't he even say back here, right? I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. He's just saying, you know, we need to have a talk, kids. Stuff's going on here, and we need to address it and hit it head on. And he's been doing that. He's been talking about their issues with divisions in the church and them kind of aligning themselves with certain teachers, and they liked the way they talked, and kind of also putting stock in the wisdom of the world over the wisdom of God. And these were things that he's been addressing. And so here we have, he's just kind of bringing this to a close and just saying, you know, he's really just with the love of a spiritual parent saying, you know, I'm not really not trying to shame you in writing this letter and calling you out on these things. It's really to warn you. That's what the word admonish is. It's a warning. I'm trying to warn you. And a good parent warns their kids about the danger approaching if they continue on their trajectory, right? That's what a good parent does. And so, you know, I have to do this too as an instructor. I have to, I guess that there are instructors that don't do this, but I've kind of felt like, you know, I need to warn students if they're approaching a serious negative grade, right? And kind of like, and actually, you know, this is really interesting. Here this last week, I sent an email to a student, and I just said, hey, you know, these things are going on, you know, in your performance, and I really don't want to see you back in the classroom again, taking the course again. I just want to see if you could maybe focus more, you know, or whatever's going on, you know. And so it was really trying to be kind of like, you know, somebody's dad, but not be their dad. Try to be an instructor, just kind of give them the warning. And you know what they did when they got in class? And this doesn't happen every time, I'm sure. But they came up and they actually thanked me for that. And just to say, you know, that, you know, it's worth the risk, you know, to tell somebody, you know, if you continue down this trajectory that you're on, in this case, it was, you're going to be back in this class again. And I don't think you want to do that, right? Paul's doing this, you know, in a more important matter here, spiritually speaking. He's warning them about their trajectory and that they're falling into some, believing some things that are not true and causing problems in the church. And so one of the things that I notice in here, and I'm just going to kind of call this the title here, this imitation and protection, because those are really kind of the two things that he brings up here. And the first thing that he brings up there in verse 15, let me find my way back in my Bible to that place, 4:15. And so he's simply saying here, says, you know, I have countless, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And one of the things I was thinking here was just that the local church is the place for helping people begin and develop a relationship with Jesus. And you might say, well, duh, you know, and that's what it's about, right? But the thing is that he's saying that these people are his children in the faith, right? And so, and again, he's hitting on the fact that this came through the fact that he was the one that brought the gospel to them, right? And he's saying, you've had countless guides or tutors or whatever you might say, other teachers, even Apollos and Peter and these other people that have been mentioned in the book. But he said, you only have one person that led you to Jesus, and that was me. He's kind of making an appeal to them, you know, that fatherly appeal. And he's saying, but I'm your spiritual father. And he introduced them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder who comes to your mind when you think about if you've if you put your faith in Christ, now, who was that person that was a major instrument in God's hand in you coming to faith in Jesus? And maybe that you would consider them to be your father or mother in the faith, who, whether it's a male or female, just, you know, someone who really had an impact. You know, the person that was there for me that actually kind of, in a sense, pushed me over the edge or across the line of faith, if you will, is Tim Herring. And he just, you know, and I just, it was through a relationship with no strings attached that through his help and concern for me, knowing if I knew where I was headed when I died, and that I came to faith. And so he would be my father in the faith. And so even though there were many other people around who, even since that time in my life, have had a lot of input and who I've looked to for help, just in my own spiritual growth, I think of people like Pastor Mike Moret or Terry Lewis or Mark Hagen. And I was talking with Eric today about someone that used to be in our home group years ago on campus. Her name was Terry Nash. And I was like, and she was a prayer warrior, and I already looked up to her. And I always said, you know, if you want something to happen, you have Terry pray for it. And, you know, and God was just, it just seemed like there are some people that just, you know, even though, you know, God's the same with all of us, that this person was just really given to prayer and really seemed to have a great walk with God. And so those are people who were sort of spiritual guides for me. And you know, by the way, this never stops. I mean, really, we should have, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, there should be people that we allow into our lives to help us, and that we would look to, whether it's get together and talk about life and look for not only encouragement, but also get some good Christian wisdom from somebody that's walked with the Lord for a while. You know, it's good to have people that are at least a step ahead of us in the faith. Right, and not as doesn't always have to be like the student teacher type of relationship. It can be peers or whatever too. But just, you know, someone that you know who's following Jesus, and that could be helpful to us. And but here, you know, we just see Paul just saying, you know what, this church here, he's saying, is something that I established, and. And that, you know, it's okay to have these other people that have input to your life, but I'm kind of appeal to you on the basis that I'm the guy that helped you get started. And so he goes on and then says here in verse 16, he says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. And again, you know, I just, when you read that, some people say, well, man, that's kind of bold, you know, for Paul to say, you know, imitate me. Well, if you will, in your Bibles there, take a look further into 1 Corinthians. Take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if we kind of go forward in the book just a little bit. The very first verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says it again, be imitators of me, but then what does he say? As I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So he's really saying, you know, he's not saying because he's that great of a guy, he's just simply saying, you know, emulate from me those qualities that you see in Jesus, right? And that's the thing, is that, you know, You don't want to imitate the bad stuff, right? You want to imitate a person who's following Jesus to the degree that they are following Jesus, and that their character is worthy of emulation, right? Take a look in Philippians chapter 3. So move forward there in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians Philippians 3:17. Oops, I need to get dialed in here. I was in Ephesians 3:17, which says nothing like Philippians 3:17. Surprise. Okay, brothers, join in imitating me, right? Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. So he's kind of saying, listen, you know, he's saying, imitate me and also imitate those who imitate our way of life. And the implication there is as he follows Jesus, right? He's basically saying, pick good role models in your Christian life, right? Pick good role models in your Christian life. And God has placed us in the local church so that we might not only come on Sunday mornings and gather and worship together, but also just so that we might have, in a sense, tutors in the faith. People who can help us and encourage us and who have been around the block a little bit, who don't know everything and who are not infallible and everything, but who we can emulate their faith and ask questions. And I know... for me, this has been helpful not only in just like when, in our Linda and I's marriage relationship, but also like in raising children and getting advice and input from other believers. And then just, you know, when you run into problems and difficulties where, you know, you just can't find that verse that fits the exact situation. You're like, I don't know what to do. It's very helpful if you can get together with another believer who's just maybe a little further along in your faith, that they might be able to help you. Maybe have some insight. Maybe ask some questions that you hadn't thought of asking about the situation. And I don't know that this is done that much today, where people are actually asking for input, for things. It's more of maybe that kind of sometimes comes from our independent mindset, right? That it's me and my walk with God and so on. But you know, last week the big topic was humility, right? Well, if you and I are going to imitate others and look at their faith and imitate, it's going to take some humility. And it's going to take a quality, let's call it teachability, right? That, am I teachable? Am I willing to examine myself and try to learn from somebody else, right? Learn from someone else's faith that they're as they follow Jesus, and not that and so many things in the Christian life, we don't have specific direction on how you do it, but maybe like it's more of the what. A lot of times, sometimes it's the how is there in the scriptures, but sometimes isn't it nice to have a model to work off of, to emulate. I'm not a very good creator of original content when it comes to the classroom, so I love to borrow things that people have created and look at their ideas, not pass it off as my own, but to look at it and say, hey, how did they do that, right? Because I'm just not a creative. And so, but I'm really a good adapter, okay? And so I figured that out a while ago, and sometimes you can kind of be bummed out by that. Like, I'm just not this great creative person, you know, or originator of content. But I can learn. The thing is, I guess if you're in that position, you can say, well, I know I'm not that great at this kind of thing, whatever it is, and I want to learn to see what other people are doing. I don't always have that attitude, and none of us do, but I guess the thing is that the Lord, and we see Paul here, he wants us to have this attitude of a student and learning and say, you know what, I've got something to learn from Nick or whatever it might be. But is there someone, think about this, is there someone in your life that you look to in your walk with Jesus that you have in a sense, allowed that kind of access, because that takes some trust, takes time to build that trust up. But to allow someone to have that access, that when you ask them for advice or input, that you're willing to consider it. Doesn't mean you have to do, you certainly should never think that you have to do whatever somebody else tells you, okay? But to weigh it in the balance, to weigh the wisdom that they might have, their experience, into your decision-making, into your parenting, into your marriage relationship, into your dating relationship, into whatever it might be. Because so many things come up when it comes to relationships, doesn't it? Right? Unless you're living on an island somewhere by yourself, our problems, our difficulties come up in the context of other people. And it's nice to have advice, spiritual input from someone else. And so I'm just asking the question, do you have that? Or are you really mainly operating on your own? Okay. And I think the issue is that if you're only operating on your own and you're really not letting anybody else in there to be a part of your walk, then that's just pretty safe. And how do you know? I mean, I'll just be honest, we're really good at self-deception, okay? We have a better view of how things are going in certain areas, right, when it's us, right? But to have an honest person who loves you and who's following Jesus to give some input into your life. I know it's risky. I know it's, and you can get burned. But I'm telling you, it's also a path of spiritual growth. It's a provision that God's given us in the church as people who have gone before us, who are ahead of us, who have walked with Jesus many years, been through all kinds of life circumstances, been through marital troubles, been through cancer, been through this, been through that. I mean, just whatever, right? And so, if there's anything that to take action on a day, maybe it's you initiating some getting together with somebody or talking with somebody, and just to want to learn from them in some area of life, or get their advice on something, or to learn, this may sound like a strange thing, but I love to hear what people do in their devotional life. I like to, what do you do when you get with God? What do you do? Because it's a lot of different for a lot of people. I mean, usually involves the Word of God, spending time with Him, usually involves some prayer, right? But within that, there's a lot of different variation, and just to learn what people do. And again, there's not necessarily a right or wrong way on how that is, but, we want to have God's Word taken in and hear His voice through that, and we want to pray and connect with God that way. But beyond that, we don't have a script, okay? I remember, I think it was George Mueller who actually used the Word of God as a springboard into prayer. Some people start with prayer and end up in the Word. Some people start with the Word and end up in prayer. And he would just say, he would read the Word of God and he would see something there and it would cause him to talk to God about it. And but anyway, just when you get with someone, I would encourage you, if your times with God are dry or maybe non-existent or you're having a hard time being consistent, why don't you talk with somebody about what they're doing? Right? What are they doing? Or if you're struggling with some particular scenario, that you need help on, Again, I know these are vulnerable things. You don't just tell these things to anybody. But once you kind of get to that point where there's that trust, why don't you talk to them and say, well, I'm having real trouble. This thing is dogging me, and I have trouble. There's a weakness. Do you have any suggestions? Or I don't know what to do with in my parenting. I'm at a total loss. And so, it's just, you get the idea. Be open. Weigh it in the balance. Yes, it's your decision in the end, but be teachable. And so Paul's telling us here, you know, that God's providing Christian examples for us in the local church so we might see and imitate their faith. It gives us a track to run on. You know, when I taught my kids to ride a bike, of course, like most people, I went on YouTube and I learned how do you teach your kids to ride a bike? And somewhere I found out that somebody said, well, you should take them to a place where there's a very short but gentle hill, right? And so I found a park in Up Arlington somewhere that had a little hill. I mean, we're talking like that, right? So that they can get just enough speed, right, to get going once you kind of let them go, that they can pedal a little bit and get a little confidence like that, right? And you know, I wasn't going to teach them how to do a wheelie on the bike first, right? As I said, you just have to get the basics of balance, right, and how to get up enough speed to keep the balance, right? Those are like the basics. Now, beyond that, you can do all kinds of things in riding a bike, right? But that's just the basics, right? And so, you know, and then, but basically, you know, when it comes to our faith and different areas of following Jesus, we need to learn some of the basics, right? And then God will help us adjust those to our needs. But reaching out to somebody and learning what they're doing in their faith can be really helpful. Take a look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just keeping on this idea of imitation. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Now, I don't think Paul has anything in mind about like trying to reproduce widgets, like we all look the same. That's not it in the imitation thing here, okay? Certainly, I mean, as we read on in Corinthians, you'll learn he knows we're all made differently and given all different kinds of gifts. First Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 8, he says here, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Now, I'm pointing this out because, you know what, guys? Imitating others, or whether you're on the reverse side of that, somebody's coming to you and wanting to emulate your faith in Jesus, it's more than, like, downloading content, okay? Content's great, information's good, but it's the impartation of a life, okay? This is what Paul said. He said, not only did I bring you the gospel, but we really gave to you our very lives. And that implies this intimate involvement that involves this, you know, letting in, right? And so, and this is what he said. We ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own selves. Again, that's vulnerability. Because you had become very dear to us. And so Paul had a real heart and love for all the churches, I'm sure, that he established. But he's telling the Thessalonians, because you've become very dear to me. And so I not only want to impart the gospel, but I'm giving you of myself in whatever way. And so so I think this is important. In discipleship today, in a lot of places, it's about taking a class, it's about going through a book, it's about, you know, knowing this and knowing that, and content's important. Truth is important. There's no question about it. Truth, and even in growing and as a disciple of Jesus, knowing what the truth is. What does the Bible say about who Jesus is, who about God is, who the Holy Spirit, all that. I mean, that's important. But it's really life on life. And that's why you really can't mass produce Christians. Christ followers, you can't mass produce them. It really takes one life being imparted to another, right? When you're talking about helping somebody grow spiritually, encouraging them, coming alongside, right? Whether it's a peer relationship or mentoring relationship, spiritually speaking, is that, you know, because I don't know about you, but I don't have time to mentor 10 people. Right? You only got so much time, right? You got to sleep, you got to eat, you got to work. And so, you know, so the time is limited. So we realize that that just kind of shows me that how important it is that we're all involved in this. Okay, this is not like for the professionals, whoever they are. Okay. Take a look at again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you at peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. So you see again this pattern of imitation, right? So we're not making this up. This is not some nice idea, but this is something that the Lord wants us to be involved in each other's lives and imitate those areas that are worthy of imitation, that reflect the character of Jesus. It's interesting, the Thessalonians were quite an example, and he goes on to say there, he says, when he says, you became imitators of us, there, verse 6, and of the Lord, for you received the word of the Lord in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So they were under affliction, but they received the word of God, the gospel, with great joy, even amidst the affliction. And it says, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So not only did they imitate Paul's faith, right, but they became themselves an example to the other areas. I was thinking about this, you know, the phrase or saying, do as I say, not as I do, right? Do as I say, not as I do. Well, you know, that's just bad discipleship, among other things, right? you know, if I want to be an example to anybody in their faith, you know, I can't tell them about how to have a quiet time. I need to have one myself. It just doesn't have any power, really, when you're not doing it. Now that doesn't mean that we do it perfectly or that we always obey perfectly every time. I mean, that's not the point. But is the general trajectory of my life one of desiring to obey the Lord and having some consistent obedience there to God? I mean, are you going to respect somebody who you're looking to emulate them, and you realize they're not even doing what they're telling you to do, like in terms of the living for Jesus and in whatever area it is? So this, you know, this whole thing of emulating and imitating, if you're the person that is helping other people grow spiritually, and you know, by the way, you know, if you're a parent, you've got little ones looking to you, right? You have, if you have children, they're looking to you, so we are discipling them at the very least. They're your disciples. They're ones who are looking to emulate your faith, and that doesn't mean again that we're perfect in our parenting or the way we do, but we try to model following Jesus, right? They're going to pick up on that. And then we not only want them to just pick up on it, but we want to also teach them. We want to teach our kids information about who Jesus is and what, you know, the basics of the Christian faith, imparting to them. I like this 2 Timothy 3:10. when I think about just Timothy, who was also one of Paul's children in the faith, right? 2 Timothy 3:10, where he says, "Therefore," oop, that's 2:10, not there. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:10. "You, however," 2 Timothy 3:10, "you, however," he's talking to Timothy, right? "You, however, have followed," what? "My teaching," there's the information, right? "My conduct," there's how he's living his life, right? "My aim in life," almost like his purpose is to glorify God, advance the gospel. "My faith," "my patience," "my love," "my steadfastness," oops, "my persecutions." I don't really want to emulate that. But he's just saying, you know, we know those who desire to live godly lives will be persecuted, right? There's some level there of suffering. He says, "My persecutions and my sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." And so he's just simply saying, you know, I'm just pointing this out. He's saying, Timothy, who was a young pastor, right, and a student, if you will, of Paul's, he emulated the teaching and his conduct as it lined up with Jesus Christ. So teaching and, you know, information and emulating the conduct is important. It's more than just information transfer. I think this personal contact in an impersonal age, right, where everything is, you know, mostly done online and text messaging and everything, and there's definitely value in that for sure. However, we need to make sure that we have the personal element. That's really the only way of a life on life, imitation, discipling relationship can happen, really, mostly in person, face to face. Last thing I want to mention here is, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point because actually chapter 5 gets a little more into this. But, you know, our church leaders are not only examples to us, but they are there for our protection. And back to the passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's really, you read that and you're like, wow, man. Paul is really serious, right? What does he say? Verse 18, he says, "Some are arrogant," this is verse 18, 1 Corinthians 4, "some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God is not consistent in talk, but in power. But what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" I mean, Paul's really hoping that this letter that he's written is going to kind of get the job done. It's going to kind of get him back on the straight and narrow as a church, address the issues. You know, and you gather from the reading of this letter, there was another letter that came before it where they had questions for Paul. Issues were brought up to Paul, and now he's answering them. We don't have that letter that came before 1 Corinthians, but you can just tell by some of the verses in here that there was another letter, and Paul's answering their questions, right? And he's hoping that they'll take heed to these warnings so that when he comes, he doesn't have to kind of be the heavy hand. He's not saying he's going to beat him with a rod, okay? This is just kind of saying, you don't want me to kind of come and have to discipline the church, do you? Or individuals in the church, do you? But he's willing to do that because he loves them, right? You know, and again, back in that parent-child relationship, right? He's saying he's their father spiritually. He loves them enough to tell them the hard things, right? And so part of following Jesus and growing is being willing to be receivers of hearing the hard things. Yeah, it's difficult sometimes. Difficult to receive hard words. But when they're true, right, if we receive them, and by God's grace, we can grow from them, right? Presumably, the person that's telling you the hard things loves you and is going to also be willing to offer their help with you, right? So, the church leader here is Paul, and now we, every church, when Paul set up churches, you can read that he appointed elders, right, in those locations, overseers, shepherds, to care for the flock. And if you read the New Testament, you read that, that position was one of a servant, right? You see that Jesus told his disciples, listen, it's not about lording it over the people in your charge. It's about loving them. And it's about caring for them. And sometimes that does involve difficult words, difficult conversations in love, right? Take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. It's really hard to read this verse in our culture today because so many have been abused by people in power, right? So when you have a verse that relates to authority, people bristle, right? But again, you've got to put it in the context of loving leadership. You have to put it in the context of people walking with God who love the people of God, who want to do right by them, right? So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, where he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And so, that again, that's a difficult word to hear, right? And I think in our, in our context, we have a plurality of elders. We have multiple elders, and I think that's not only a biblical thing, but it's also a good check and balance thing. So that the chances that all four elders are off the rails and power hungry are fairly slim, okay, or are doing someone wrong, okay. There's that plurality is healthy in leadership. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, your leaders if they're doing it right, they're looking out for you. So, unless they're asking you to do something immoral against the scriptures, could you kind of submit to that? Go along with it, right? I just think and that's difficult sometimes, especially when you disagree with the leadership. Like, you don't like the decision that was made, all right? This is where it's like we got to get back to thinking like what Jesus, when he was talking to the centurion, right, who wanted to Jesus to heal his daughter, right? And Jesus, or the centurion, Jesus, he didn't have to come there. Right? He didn't need to have Jesus come to the location. He's like, you just say the word, and she's going to be healed because, I'm a man under authority. He says, I know how it works, man, and you're the big guy, and everything's going to, submit to you. And he understood, how authority works. And so You know, and by the way, you can just pray. You should pray for our elders, right? You should pray for us because, you know, we want to do right by the body of Christ. And it's when we take our role seriously, it's very scary, right? Because you're caring for people. You want to give them the right advice biblically. You want to make the right decisions. Sometimes when it's very murky and unclear, right? And so just pray for the elders, pray for the leaders here, because you know sometimes we have to do difficult things. I mean, thankfully we don't have to do one right now, because you'd be like, okay, that's why you're bringing it up. You know, but saying, you know, we're faced with difficult decisions sometimes, and sometimes you got to say hard words like Paul was saying, right? Out of love. And so it's no fun. You know how it is when the parent, right? I remember I was guilty of this a lot. You know, when our kids were little and Linda was homeschooling them, right? And she's had to be the disciplinarian all day, right? And Dad just swoops in and, oh, we're just having a good time, you know? That's no fun. No fun for her, right? And I, you know, it's just no fun being the bad guy all the time, so to speak, right? And so it's just, again, I'm just saying this in light of leadership, right? Pray for the leaders. And really pray for this. I'm going to end on this. I'm going over here, but hey, that's okay, I guess. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. So this should be the attitude of our leaders as we serve the believers here, as we serve you all. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Read this in our men's gathering yesterday for breakfast. Second Corinthians 1. By the way, you know, any of you guys, if you're interested, you should join us, because Jamie makes a mean pancake and Cam makes some good sausage, so, and I just love eating it. You know, it's all about the food. Sorry. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. So this is Paul. He says, not that we lord it over your faith. There's that leadership thing. Not that we're wanting to lord it over you, your faith. But we work with you. For what purpose? For your joy. For your joy. For you stand firm in your faith. Saying, we work for you for your joy. We want to do our job, and in a way so that it's your end result is your joy in the Lord. That's the goal. All right. So this is where we're going to stop today. This is basically, we're leading into, and these last few verses are kind of a good lead-in to the next chapter, which is very challenging. If that wasn't a hard word, we haven't seen anything yet. Okay? He has some really challenging things. The church was allowing some things to go on that should have never been allowed to continue. And he's going to bring that up next. But so, you know, big takeaway today is basically, you know, who are you looking to emulate their faith? Right? Let's ask the Lord's help. God, we just come to you this morning. And maybe we already know this stuff. Maybe we kind of in concept even, you know, agree with it. But Lord, help us to really develop trusting relationships with each other, where we would allow each other in to give input, to solicit input. And sometimes, granted, you know, we get together and we just listen. We just listen to each other. We try to be there. But other times we just need to also say, hey, do you have any thoughts on what I ought to do? Or how do you do this? Or how do you do that? And really look to emulate someone else's faith as they're following Jesus, as they imitate Jesus. Lord, help us to approach one another with humility and be willing to learn from each other. And Lord, we know that, you know, following Jesus is just this long obedience in the same direction as it has been said. And but Lord, we know really the scriptures over time and time again tell us this is not a walk that's done alone. It was not meant to be done alone. It was meant to be done with others in a level of community where we could imitate one another and receive instruction from one another. Lord, help us to be more like this. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.